Welcome to Reclaiming the Republic. This is G.R. Mobley. This show is sponsored by ReclaimingTheRepublic.org. If you go to ReclaimingTheRepublic.org, you can download our podcast and support documents and links. This is an educational, grassroots program designed to restore the Republic and placing the general government, or what many refer to as the federal government, back into the constitutional framework and scope of the Constitution. And welcome back. I want to remind you that this show, if you cannot listen to it in its entirety today, will be rebroadcasted on Saturday at 1 p.m., as well as Sunday at 9 p.m. And as I say, this is an educational show, and many parts of these shows refer to previous shows, and these shows build off of each other. Consequently, to stay abreast with our content, you will need to listen to all these shows to garner what Republic Review is and how we, together, can reclaim the Republic. Don't forget, you can download these podcasts at ReclaimingTheRepublic.org, and they are the podcasts. I have two sets of podcasts on that site. One set is the Red State Talk radio podcast, and the other ones are my radio podcasts, so, which is these podcasts. I don't necessarily mention KSBN because I actually have the old ACNs up there as well as my KCAA podcasts. So if you want to look at all the different archives and so forth. And so I guess that's a good prod for me to actually clarify. And so I can put up the KSBN podcasts up there as to differentiate between all the other podcasts. I kind of do that on the page, but I should just probably put it on the button to make life simple because I believe in keeping it simple. And sometimes I fail, so I'll fix that. I'll have to go to my IT guy and thrash him again. Anyway, local announcements. The Republican Coffee Club meets every Friday at 7 o'clock, and this Friday they have Art Witten from the Spokane Home Builders, and next Friday they have the Republican challenger for the 5th Congressional seat, which is Jared Gavin Bono, and I probably got that wrong, so I hope he forgives me, because it is a shortcoming. If you've been listening to the show for a long time, it is a shortcoming of mine in pronouncing names. Dates and things like that, I just, boom, it's just easy for me. But anyway, May 4th, it's Arthur Randall O'Toole on Agenda 21, Property Rights and Foundation of America, and so that actually is very informative. All of these are informative, and I'd highly recommend that you just take the allocate the budget and time so that you can be there every Friday at the Something Else Deli at 152 South Sherman, and it's right there on the northeast corner of Sherman and 2nd. So anyway, I'm not sure if you had a chance to attend the Northwest Grass movie night last week. But it was stellar because the information that this group provides, basically John and Cecily, is, again, top-notch because they're trying to give you, you know, the full picture, not just a biased review or a biased perspective. They try to give you all the information. And 9 times out of 10, I know when they have issues or they bring up issues that have opposing views, they do try to get the both sides to come up and, you know, speak, but sometimes both sides don't get along, and so they don't necessarily want to share that stage, so one doesn't show up or what have you. So it is what it is. Last week on my national show, I spoke about the awakening of David. And so let me give you this rundown on this metaphor, because if you understand the story, which most of you probably do, the metaphor of David and Goliath, I want you to understand that David himself didn't necessarily know that he had the authority, other than the fact that the prophet kind of picked him to basically go out and face Goliath. And so with his sling, he basically dropped this monster or this entity that was much larger than he. And I'm trying to use this metaphor in Republic Review, in trying to get one state to stand up as David. And I will tell you that David himself, in this particular case, will not be able to drop Goliath, which is the Leviathan of our federal government. This actually requires a cadre of David, but I truly believe that usually when you get one champion to stand up, you will find quickly the leadership already exists in these other states or in the room, and nine times out of ten, these champions rise to the occasion when they recognize that somebody else has actually beat them to it as they're trying to cogitate on the fact of, well, maybe we should step up and do this. The problem is that not everybody understands, or very few people understand or recognize this power that they possess and what Republic Review does. That is my challenge in trying to get these state legislators, which is why I am trying to work with Idaho, Utah, Wyoming, the Dakotas, and Kansas in getting one of these six states to become the champion in protecting us and ending federal tyranny. I also want to mention that if you go to reclaimingtherepublic.org, right there on my home page, I have posted the bullets that kind of simplify, so you don't have to sit down and read for a few hours and try to digest the narrative of my executive summary. People just say, can you simplify this? Can you simplify this? As a slave to the demands of others, I have done that. And you can actually go out and read the bullets. So now you have complete access and complete understanding as to what the academic argument of what Republic Review is and how it works. And the second mechanism, or the second bullet, is the mechanism of Republic Review and the flow of it and how it's applied and how it works and so forth. In addition, if you look at the very bottom of the homepage underneath those bullets, I have the model. If you go to that link or click on that link, it'll take you to the picture so you can see a graphic depiction of Republic Review, how it lays out as a state starts to, as a state stands up, or as David stands up in the metaphor, and actually starts calling upon his other states and everybody else, come on, we can do this. Kind of like Bassillon, or you know, some of the old Dan, I forget the Marine's name. I can't believe this because I'm really good with history, but as I told you, I'm bad with names. But the gentleman, the Marine, in, I believe it was in a Cuban conflict, basically says, come on, he has an expletive, you guys think you're going to live forever? Let's go, let's charge. And he basically leads a charge upon the opponent, and they prevail. But anyway, that's what we want David to do here. And sorry for not having that little history bit tightly knitted for you so that it would dovetail as well. My bad. I sometimes improvise. I improvise a lot, as a matter of fact. I will also say this, to keep me from improvising, I could really use some help. There are more things to do, and I do not have enough hands. And so if you're interested in assisting me in saving the Constitution, email me or reach out to me so that I can enlist you in this process as well, and I can give you things that you can help me with in getting this information out. But please, first read. You need to be a full buy-in in what Republic Review will do. And as you do that, there's no doubt in my mind that if you have the same concerns, if you have the same passion, if you have the same paradigm that I do and the dangers we face, that you will probably and quickly jump on top of this. The other thing is, and I'm really running out of time, but if you're a business owner and you're looking for a way to get this country back, then send me an email, especially here in Spokane, Spokane Valley, Spokane County. We need your help. You do not have to shoulder the burden of cost, but there are ways you can contribute. We can all contribute. And I can speak to you about these ways. Again, we have to start countering the progressive groups and the money that is coming in and these other organizations that are trying to buy influence. We absolutely have to stop this at the front end. We can no longer allow them to continue to buy influence and allow these Agenda 21, go to that Republican. Let me go back to what day that is. Let me get you to go to May 4th, the Republican Club. Learn about Agenda 21 so you can understand who's pulling the strings in Spokane County and Spokane City Council, because you can recognize that those are Agenda 21 issues that are starting to come down the pike that we're being inflicted with. So we need your help. Bottom line, we need your help. I'm at a hard break, so I need some help. And we're going to be right back with Aline, and she is a wealth of knowledge on our election. So right after our sponsors. So we'll be right back. Hey, folks, it's that time of year to get that dental checkup and cleaning. I know many of us are creatures of habit, and we tend to settle for what we know, and many of us are procrastinators. I was that way with my past dentist, jumping from one dentist chair to the next. From all the hopping, I have learned that all dentists are not equal, and I would challenge you to consider checking out Dr. Vaughn Tracy. I work hard to make a living, and I'm not one to throw my hard-earned money on just any good dentist. That's why it took me a couple of years to find a great dentist like Dr. Vaughn Tracy. From the excellence of his staff to the quality of the work, Dr. Vaughn Tracy is the difference. I know it's time to put standards to our loyalty, so I ask you to give Dr. Vaughn Tracy a try by setting up your next appointment with him. Just go to VONTRACYDDS.com or call them at 466-6614. Again, sign up at VonTracyDDS.com. Thank you. This is G.R. Mobley. I've been on the radio for over a year, and for over a decade, I've been providing content to help patriots understand what has to be done if we are going to save our Constitution and our Republic. Not one academic has been able to refute my argument, and most do not like it for money reasons. If you have not read my executive summaries, you need to, so that you can understand what we all need to do. I am trying to give patriots the necessary knowledge to take back our Constitution and Republic. Go to ReclaimingTheRepublic.org so you can pick up my executive summaries, books, and content to understand the simplicity of what we have to do. This way, you'll know what, why, and how to support the reclaiming of our Republic. Again, please take a look at my content. Most of it's free at ReclaimingTheRepublic.org and MobiStripPress.com as well. This way, you can become a part of the solution and not a part of the problem. My show, Reclaiming the Republic, is more than an educational show. My intent is also to work with you and local leadership to promote matters of the Constitution and self-governance. This way, we can all promote constitutional awareness within our communities and with our elected officials and public leaders. If you love liberty and sovereignty and recognize the federal tyranny that is threatening our lives, then we are asking for your help. And here are a few ways you can help. Spread the word about this radio show, Reclaiming the Republic. It is result-oriented and is live across the Republic. Download and share our podcast. Like, follow, and share our page, Mobius Strip Press, and the articles and content posted on our Facebook page. Get informed about groups in the local area and get involved. Most importantly, become a constitutional warrior with your local leaders and demand that they begin applying constitutional tests to what they are doing and who they are supporting. Thank you. Hi, this is G.R. Mobley. If you've listened to my weekly show, Reclaiming the Republic, right here on Red State Talk Radio, every weekday evening from 6 to 7 Eastern and 3 to 4 Pacific, then you should understand that the Constitution is neither a living document nor a noble guide to governance. It is a hard, fast contract. In accordance to Article 7, the states are the only stakeholders in this contract, and inherent in contract law, the stakeholders or states possess the inherent authority to exercise oversight over the contract. This means they can audit the contract against the general government and the unconstitutional powers they are exercising. Any single state can perform this audit, but when states begin to unite in the auditing process, this is what I refer to as Republic Review. Please read my executive summary on ReclaimingTheRepublic.org to learn the details about Republic Review. Thank you. Okay, so we are back, and let me get this right, because I'm so bad at doing this. And as a matter of fact, Brad will probably attest, I am terrible with names. So is it Aline or Aileen?
My name is Aline.
Aline.
But my husband calls me Aline.
Aline.
The people that call me Aileen, I'm like, not today. I feel okay.
You feel okay. But it's Aline.
It is Aline. I was named for my father, Al.
Okay. Then I'll run with that. Now that I know the background, it's easier for me to remember. And it's more important. Anyway, I've asked you to come in. And, folks, we're talking to an expert that understands the election process or what goes behind the scenes in getting your ballots counted and what basically ultimately dictates who is going to win or what referendums and measures on the ballot will actually be approved and not. And so one of the things that I found interesting in our first conversation was a word called algorithms. And I want to just go straight to that. Can you please explain to me what the heck is an algorithm and why are algorithms used instead of counting ballots?
Well, the algorithm is a computer program.
Well, I understand that.
Okay. Other people might not know that. But the computer program is software purchased by some company that a given election office will buy from a company that is inserted into the computer guts, that into the machine that they purchase from a company that will be programmed. We assume, we don't know, we've never been allowed to watch, that are programmed to read our ballots based on how they are printed, you know, the lines and what goes in it, because every ballot's different.
Right.
So it has to be programmed to match what it sees and all that. So that's the algorithm. It's the algorithm, which is a computer program. And what is, that's not a bad thing. What is concerning is no one gets to see what's on it or have an independent election audit to know that that algorithm had not been altered in any way by accident or otherwise.
Right, or it could be pre-programmed to provide. It's just like somebody who writes code to create an algorithm to manage banking accounts, and literally every 27th bank account gets shaved a half a cent, and it gets deposited into somebody else's account. And so there's nothing that keeps that computer program from actually counting at whatever the algorithm is to throw one vote in a very specific direction.
It's very difficult to know, since the state of Washington has determined that a ballot. Now, there's two types of ballots we need to talk about to give it a clarity here. One is the one you get in the mail that you mail back in.
Right.
Then there's the ballot that they get that is an original ballot, but they can't. They know up front it won't be read by the algorithm, the machine program, because it's really massively wrinkled. It won't go through the machine. It'll ball it up. Or they've used glitter ink that is light technology, doesn't work.
The voter uses glitter ink.
Correct. Or they've wrinkled it. Maybe they sat on it. Maybe they ran it over in the car and, oops, we'll just mail it anyway. They don't know how they're processed. And so when the election workers who are paid open them up at that stage, they see which ballots have certain kinds of markings over where the oval is. You know, the oval is what's read by the program.
Right.
Well, if they have certain markings that are odd, let me just give you an example, which is very, very strange. Pencil is supposed to work, but if it's really too shiny and reflects back, I personally was observing two elections ago, I believe, when the ballots kept, they'd run them by one and one on one, just one at a time, kept doing it four or five times. The machine wouldn't read it, came back that it didn't see it. So they went and duplicated them. So what I want the people listening to know is that you don't know, if you're not careful with your ballot, if it's going to be remade onto a brand new, fresh ballot.
And so what is that process? Is that a Xerox machine?
No.
I didn't think so, because based on what I was reading, you have two people, instead of going to a Xerox machine to literally duplicate everything so that the ink that comes out is readable, mm-hmm. Guaranteed,
that what they do is they have another person sitting across the table, and they mark the ballot, and then they verify that.
Correct.
So that goes in line with another problem that I have that we'll get to.
Well, that becomes the brand new official ballot, the one that was original that was determined.
Unreadable,
which it likely was for various reasons, goes into a box never to see the light of day because Washington state law judges, whatever, I think it's the judges, have determined that those ballots are now the new original ballot, and there's no identifying marks on a ballot, but they consider them privacy of the vote. So if we have ever had a chance to look at ballots that will be destroyed and shredded, there is no way to tie a ballot to a person, but that research would be fabulous.
Right. So do we want transparency in the voting process, or do we want privacy in the voting process?
You're not breaking privacy if you get those ballots because there's nothing identifying who voted what.
Right. There's your name, signature, nothing is on that. But I did notice that one of your cohorts recommended that they voluntarily sign their ballot somewhere so that they could then identify and track that ballot.
I don't recommend it.
Okay.
For that very purpose, if it were ever allowed. If we ever had any common sense that ruled, that would be a perfect way to do research and or an independent election audit.
Right. The thing that I still have a problem with is that we're employing a person who could understanding, and we talked about this before and I'll go there, understanding that everybody has levels of bias. There is no such thing as an unbiased person. Even computers are biased based on their programs. And so understanding that everybody that is stepping into this pool of employment in the elections office has biases, there is a good likelihood that if you have the owner or the manager has a bias, it is called groupthink or cultural control. In other words, when I hire people, I'm going to hire people that I believe holds my bias. And so I have a real problem with that because the people that have the ability to change the outcome of an election are not being controlled. There's no vetting process to ensure you have an equal amount of bias for every potential. In other words, the federal government mandates, and I'm going over this again, but I think it's important. The federal government mandates equal representation of your community, and that's unconstitutional, by the way. But there is this argument that if you have so many women in the community, then your workforce should be more representative of women, should be more representative of blacks, Hispanics, whites, and so forth and so on. They want to make sure that you're not creating, you know, a disparate representation outside of the community. And when it comes to public office, as far as I'm concerned, especially in issues of partisan nature, there has to be an equality or representation of the biases. Mm-hmm. So that in Spokane County, it should include the amount of biases for the Republican, Constitutional, Libertarian, and Democrat as far as employees go. That way, you welcome transparency and you invite whistleblowers.
I agree with you 100% on that. That makes sense because I like common sense.
Right.
And I like protection, and there is none when you don't know how they are being picked to be hired.
And you're saying that the current auditor basically believes that we need to trust implicitly them.
She says it implicitly by the phrase of saying we trust the voter, therefore. She didn't say that, but you can just see what she's thinking. It comes out. Well, we trust the voter, therefore, why aren't you trusting us? You should trust us.
Right. And I know we're coming up on a hard break, and voila, clairvoyance is what the term is. Here we go. So, folks, we'll be right back after word from our sponsors. Please stay tuned. This is important stuff. Thank you much.
Mm-hmm. My show, Reclaiming the Republic, is more than an educational show. My intent is also to work with you and local leadership to promote matters of the Constitution and self-governance. This way, we can all promote constitutional awareness within our communities and with our elected officials and public leaders. If you love liberty and sovereignty and recognize the federal tyranny that is threatening our lives, then we are asking for your help. And here are a few ways you can help. Spread the word about this radio show, Reclaiming the Republic. It is result-oriented and is live across the Republic. Download and share our podcast. Like, follow, and share our page, Mobius Strip Press, and the articles and content posted on our Facebook page. Get informed about groups in the local area and get involved. Most importantly, become a constitutional warrior with your local leaders and demand that they begin applying constitutional tests to what they are doing and who they are supporting. Thank you. This is G.R. Mobley. The reason the progressives are effective in instituting their policies is because they are united ideologically, financially, and socially. In addition, almost all billionaires in the world are funding a vast array of different groups, and their efforts are to undermine our Republican Constitution. If you don't believe me, Google the donors to the Open Society Foundations. The only way we're going to combat these efforts and take back our liberties, like our education system, healthcare, and many other state rights, is by you and I and local businesses getting involved and supporting programs based on constitutional principles. The best way to do this is supporting result-oriented organizations designed to take back our lost liberties. The ultimate result-oriented effort is Republic Review. So please consider contributing to the show and the organizations and activities that we are supporting by going to reclaimingtherepublic.org and go to the contributions page, and you can become a listed supporter of liberty. Thank you. Most people resist change, but how would you like to be rewarded in at least two ways for considering a new dentist? Dr. Tracy believes your smile is a reflection upon him, and that is a mutually shared reward between both him and you. Another reward is the improvement of your overall health by working with a dentist like Dr. Tracy in developing a strategy in maintaining your dental health. But how would you like a direct incentive in considering a new dentist? Dr. Tracy and his staff from time to time offer a special referral program that for every new patient you refer who becomes a patient, they will give you $50 off your upcoming dental work. Consequently, if you refer five people, that's $250 off your dental work. They also have a tiered reward program. Give them a call and ask them for the details and the availability of the referral program by calling 466-6614 or go to VonTracyDDS.com. Again, that's 466-6614 or sign up at VonTracyDDS.com. This is G.R. Mobley. I've been on the radio for over a year, and for over a decade, I've been providing content to help patriots understand what has to be done if we are going to save our Constitution and our Republic. Not one academic has been able to refute my argument, and most do not like it for money reasons. If you have not read my executive summaries, you need to, so that you can understand what we all need to do. I am trying to give patriots the necessary knowledge to take back our Constitution and Republic. Go to reclaimingtherepublic.org so you can pick up my executive summaries, books, and content to understand the simplicity of what we have to do. This way, you will know what, why, and how to support the reclaiming of our Republic. Again, please take a look at my content. Most of it's free at reclaimingtherepublic.org and mobistrippress.com as well. This way, you can become a part of the solution and not a part of the problem.
Okay, so we're back, and I'm with Ali, and thanks so much for coming in, by the way.
Thank you for inviting me. Really, I so appreciate the opportunity.
I'm bad on manners, by the way. This is Brad. Anywho, I just got so much on my mind, and it's auto-interrupt. That's how my head works. So as I was kind of going down this process, I honestly would like to see an initiative in the vetting process for hiring employees. Because I noticed also in the article you sent me that when there are duplicate ballots that need to be done, they usually hold off until there's a whole bunch. Then they hire a bunch of people. to come in to do that. And what do? Do they go down to the unemployment line, or do they go down to the Democratic Party headquarters? How do they hire a bunch of people? Because I would think that they would want to make sure that, you know, there's some level of, because it's so partisan.
How they get many of the employees, because I've met many of them, I love most of the people down there. I'm friendly. I smile even when I know they can't talk back to me during work hours. Okay. But many of the people are from the county when they're having an off time, for example, and they've got some free time, they can come in and
they're
help.
County employees.
Yeah, some of them, not all of them.
Okay.
Because some of them are going to be on a permanent, semi-permanent list that when they need them, they're called in, versus the regular ones that are always there no matter what.
Right.
But when you have a big election, they are hiring more employees, the temps, so to speak, and some of them might be from another department.
Right. But
like the Parks Department, for example, or you know, retired teachers or something.
Right. So to be clear, this is ran by the auditor's office, which is an elected position, which means that my employment or my maintaining employment, because I want to make sure I get fully vested in retirement and be able to get fat off of the people, because if I only have one term, then I don't get a retirement. It's just like, oh, boy. And so it's really important that people maintain their power, their position in the election process. And I actually happen to control that process. Why would I not be trying to stack that in favor in ensuring and creating some level of guarantee that I can keep my job?
I can't answer what's in somebody's mind. You make a very good point, but I can tell you that our current auditor in Spokane County is going to be running for her 6th 4-year term.
Okay, so now give me a little history, because you gave me history before, and I think it's relevant here. Okay. There was an election a few years back where it was a landslide Republican win.
Yes.
And everybody that won by a very certain percentage.
High 50s and beyond.
High 50s and beyond. Mm-hmm. And the other person that was on that ballot that won was an outlier, because it was the auditor, and the auditor won by an outlier as well. Tell me about this.
When you look at spreadsheets,
yes,
and I'm not an expert at it, but I've had people that are that understand those numbers and how when you look at a spreadsheet, some of those numbers were just like popped out at you. You couldn't ignore them. In precincts, we all know precincts, I hope. Precincts is where you live in a given geographical area,
right, yep,
that you have up to 1,000 or 1,200 voters, and not any bigger than that normally. And so precincts are what everything is counted by, precincts within a district. Okay, and so when you look at your own precinct, you look at, let's say, the 4th district, which is usually highly Republican, and then you look at the numbers of these major county offices, and you look at hers, it's just odd beyond belief. Or you look at certain things like in the 3rd district. Everybody thinks the 3rd district is nothing but Democrats. It is not true, but you think that based on
the outcome.
Yeah.
Yes, there we go.
Not true.
And that's very interesting, because the point is, 9 times out of 10, I believe there should be a survey done on this, but I believe every voter votes a slate. In other words, we've become so partisan in the past probably 10, 20 years, probably because of Bill Clinton and some of those antics and so forth that really started this, I think, maybe even before that, maybe we've been partisan since Thomas Jefferson and John Adams. That being what it is, I truly believe that people vote the slate. In other words, they vote all Republican, and they'll vote all Democrat, the majority of the people. You're shaking your head no.
I am shaking my head no, because that's, you would assume that, but you've not watched Observer, duplication and all that. And how, when you watch it, I've been doing this for 9 years. What you see is not what you would expect, because depending on the election, on the off ones where you have congressional races versus a presidential every 4 versus the county every 4 different races, okay, we have seen people vote for very odd. It's Democrat, Republican, they'll vote for those issues. Should we repeal this? It won't add any more to it, but we've already got the tax, so let's leave it in, right? It's not a new tax. Do you want to keep that in, or do you want to go to the vote of the people and get rid of it, that kind of stuff? It's amazing. You can't figure it out sometimes, seriously, which is why when you watch it, you can get a feel for where a race is going if you watch enough of it, which is why we recommend observers. We are not allowed to count and take tallies. We are not allowed to speak, but we do have brains. Well, and so our brains function and can see what we hear and observe and gives you a feel. We're not supposed to talk about it by law, though, either, during an election.
If I'm correct, what you say, though, is that the counting is not done by a person at all.
No, the machine does all the counting.
There you go. So what you're witnessing is the outcome from the machine, because you're not allowed to count.
Correct.
And so you're surprised that it's not that clear-cut slate type of voting.
We see how people are voting. The results are what they are. However, they do them with algorithm.
Help me out. What do you mean by you see how people are voting?
Well, you can see a ballot. They used to show it to you. As an observer, you had that privilege.
Right.
They have since decided not to do that. So you have to listen hard as they're doing the duplication of who's voting and what are you observing for a candidate. There are candidate observers. There are party observers. Those are the primary two of any party.
Right.
But the law was set for the two basic ones, Republicans and Democrats.
Right.
But if you're a Green Party or an Independent Party, you certainly can bring in an observer for your candidate.
But not for your party.
Oh, yeah, you can. I'm a GOP observer.
No. So Libertarian. Can a Libertarian group send in an observer? Then okay, I'm making calls out to Randy McGlynn and Bob Peck and getting their parties to make sure that they're also providing observers in this upcoming election.
The hardest thing that is the most frustrating is for those of us who've been doing it for a long time that try to get people to come and we talk about observing and, you know, people's eyes glaze over. And we've had a number of retired military people that come in and they last maybe one election, if that long, and they're like, I can't do it anymore. And we're like, why? They say, well, the security is so bad, it makes me crazy. I can't do that. I can't sit there and watch, knowing the security is what it is, which isn't enough.
Right.
So they can't come back. And then you have somebody else. I mean, it is similar to watching paint dry. I'm good at it, though. And I've made a game out of it in my mind that I focus all my other senses on something. If I can't see the ballots as they turn them over anymore, but I'm listening. Sometimes I position myself that I can hear two or three people. And you're looking, if you're a candidate observer, all you're having to do is listen for that one name in the duplication process, right?
Uh-huh.
For me, I try to get a feel for it. But when I was seeing all of the ballots, people would be voting for, well, in the last election, you know, the state at the state level, all those candidates, the lands commissioner and all that. You see, of course, you're seeing this county. That's not really fair because then you got all the ballots from the other side too. But you see how the county goes overall as a really good, like, you know, when you, a polling. It's a type of polling of what your brain sees.
Well, let me ask you this. There are lots of spots, as I understand it, that are blind to the observers, that they do not give you access, where shenanigans can easily be taking place. What and why is it even possible that we institute cameras into the process? And if you actually had cameras, watching that ballot literally go from the post office into every time that, you know, they get sealed up and then opened up again, having cameras whenever those things get opened up again and, you know, noticing that the seal is still, you know, the integrity of the seal that way. You know, because we can't complicitly trust people.
No.
We cannot.
Yeah.
And so
why would you?
Right. Well, absolutely. Yeah. When this kind of thing is on the line, they understand it's about control and power. So we're going to be going to a hard break. So I want you to ruminate on this idea of what about introduce, because we put cameras on cops now. We're moving to Big Brother State, and with Big Brother, I got big music coming and a lot of big sponsors hopefully coming up as we go to a break. So we'll be right back after a word from our sponsors. Thank you so much.
This is G.R. Mobley. I'm working with Trevor Lawton, Douglas V. Gibbs, Tom DeWeese, John Hancock, and many other good patriots in setting up rodeos for Republic Review this summer. We're doing this in Wyoming, Utah, South Dakota, Idaho, Kansas, and North Dakota for this election cycle. If you are beginning to understand the power of Republic Review, then we need your help one way or another. More importantly, if you live in these states or know any patriotic leadership, whether that's an elected official, grassroots leader, or political leader, please reach out to me on Facebook or email me at info@reclaimingtherepublic.org and let me know who we can work with in organizing these events. It is our intent to get one and hopefully all of these states to call for Republic Review. If we can get this started, I promise you we will make America great once and for all. Thank you. This is G.R. Mobley. Most of you understand the importance of having strategic goals, but do you have a long-term strategic goal for your dental health? Too many people are only focused on whitening their smile. I understand the appearance of teeth can give you confidence, but this can risk your future health in only addressing the cosmetics of your teeth. And many dentists will take your money to do this. They say failing to plan is planning to fail. And if you don't have a long-term strategy, you need a new dentist. Every dentist provides a dental plan, but Dr. Tracy and his staff develops a strategy to help you maintain or restore your dental health to what it needs to be. To develop a strategy in maintaining your dental health, connect with Dr. Tracy at VonTracyDDS.com. That's VonTracyDDS.com. So you too can develop a strategy in maintaining your dental health. This is G.R. Mobley. I've been on the radio for over a year, and for over a decade, I've been providing content to help patriots understand what has to be done if we are going to save our Constitution and our Republic. Not one academic has been able to refute my argument, and most do not like it for money reasons. If you have not read my executive summaries, you need to so that you can understand what we all need to do. I am trying to give patriots the necessary knowledge to take back our Constitution and Republic. Go to reclaimingtherepublic.org so you can pick up my executive summaries, books, and content to understand the simplicity of what we have to do. This way, you'll know what, why, and how to support the reclaiming of our Republic. Again, please take a look at my content. Most of it's free at reclaimingtherepublic.org and mobistrippress.com as well. This way, you can become a part of the solution and not a part of the problem. Hi, this is G.R. Mobley. To set the record straight, Republic Review is neither an Article 5 convention nor a convention of states. In accordance with Article 5 of the Constitution, these conventions require states to apply to Congress to convene a convention with the intent to amend the Constitution. These conventions are unable to solve our real problem, which is non-compliance to the Constitution, and would be dangerous to convene at this time. In contrast, Republic Review is the process of the states exerting its constitutional authority over the Constitution. Why do we need Republic Review? Because this is the only way the states can deal with the federal encroachments into roles, responsibilities, and powers that belong to the states. To learn more, please go to reclaimingtherepublic.org to get my executive summary on Republic Review and listen to Reclaiming the Republic right here on Red State Talk Radio every weekday evening from 6 to 5 Eastern and 3 to 4 Pacific. Thank you. Okay, so I am back, and I want you to understand a few things, and I hope you are garnering and grasping what Aline Lindstrand is doing here. She is literally, opening a very secret door for us. As you hear, she just talked at the very end in that closing. She was alluding to the fact of the secrecy or security, involved
in this whole process. And as she goes through this and explains how our elections are being done, I hope you realize that, one, you cannot separate biases or partisanship out of the person. It is innate and it is ideological. And there are some people that are far more ideological than others, and those people are really passionate. But bottom line, everybody has, and that's one of the reasons why many companies forbid the discussion of politics and religion and those types of things, because they are so personal and so passionate within each of us. And I think anybody that is reasonable will agree with that position. So those who are in charge and those who are in the position, if you have a groupthink, those people will take advantage of their position. I've heard an old adage that says that once a person has assumed responsibility and authority, they instantly begin practicing unrighteous dominion. It is too often that that happens, not that it happens every time. The fact is that this system is so riddled with fraud and potential fraud, it should be outlawed by the federal government. And I think that there is a great opportunity to appeal to the Justice Department with Trump in office to basically outlaw states that are doing voter mail-in ballots and so forth because of this fraud. There may not be an absolute way of my proving that fraud exists, but the restrictions on transparency that Aline was alluding to absolutely reeks of fraud. This restriction is not due to privacy and protecting voter information, as she clearly stated. You have no idea who voted on that ballot. There's no name, no connection whatsoever. So what's the secrecy? If you did not hear the temp employees are typical government employees, and let me reemphasize this. Who are these people? You know, what type of political biases lend to becoming government employees? Because much of the positions, as she said, lend to partisan paradigms. I will tell you that the majority of the people within government typically have social workers or that type of a background. Or they have an environmental, conservational EPA. They align with, you know, Save the Earth, green movement, global warming. Their biases for the parks, recreations, and a lot of that. Now, not that 100% are that way, but many are. And even more so, I believe all are union employees, which lends to another facet of bias. And so you can't tell me that they're stacking the deck with biased employees. Now, whether, you know, there's going to be some people that'll hold their chest up and say, not me, but that doesn't mean it's 100%. As a matter of fact, Project Veritas and other organizations like that have continually exposed biases and just parasitical people that have been doing real evil things in exploiting our system, and it is just rampant, and you can't deny these types of things. As long as there is an opportunity of people who have political biases in the duplication process alone, then you have no idea what the employees are really doing. I have worked in the security world for over 30 years, and you have to remove the human element as much as possible, especially when it comes to something like this. There's this thing in highly secured environments. It's called two-person integrity, TPI. And in security, this whole TPI process is reliant upon the integrity of the two persons. And that's exactly what you have in this duplication process. How expensive would it be to just move a Xerox machine and have those things print out new ballots on the same kind of paper so that it could be done without the human? I know for a fact, as I understand contracting, that when you look at work, 9 times out of 10, the cheapest solution in going down any path is buying hardware vice labor, because usually labor will always increase the cost
you know, especially in something like this, for the long run, because they've been using labor instead of just going out and buying the hardware. We would have paid for the hardware a long time ago if that's what it would have required, if they didn't have a Xerox machine already somewhere that wasn't being utilized during the election process or could be allocated for just that thing. Anyway, all that being said, I've got a lot of ire, and it's all Aline's fault. But no, it's not really her fault. I will tell you this, that I am looking to speak with a few guests that are absolutely going to blow your socks off. I know, fortunately, that summer is coming around, is coming up. It's just around the corner here, folks. And so possibly when these other guests get aired, you'll not have your socks on, so we won't have to worry about any liability by me of getting your socks blown off. But some of these folks that I'm going to be bringing in aren't just going to be about elections, but they're going to be giving you some information. I'm hoping that I can get a hold of these folks that can give you some information that will help uncover just how bad this corruption is in these progressive states and cities. And not only just progressive states and cities, but you'll probably find that it is baked into the system, the way government manages their books, finances, and everything else, because it is all about protecting them. And so I am not sure if you know this, by the way, before I get going, because I think I'm almost out of time for this show. I want you to know that there has been an unforeseen change in leadership, and I'm not happy about this. But I have been telling you, and I don't like being right, but it's been a year I've been telling you that we've got a leadership problem. We've got a bunch of managers trying to manage agendas. And it boiled to such a point that the chair of the SCRCC, which is Stephanie Cates, basically stepped down because there had been so many problems. And it's not like people were working together to succeed. It just seemed like there were way too many people managing their agendas. I believe the election is coming up for an interim replacement. I don't know how far out that is. And I also believe that Cecily Wright, our very own, is running for this. And I hope so, because I think she's a great person. And I absolutely hope that all of these managers put aside their differences and put aside their self-interest and actually forget their little agendas and actually rally around the common core principles of our founding, our Constitution, that we believe in individual liberty and sovereignty and promoting what is best for those two principles in Spokane County. If you're looking to get involved, by the way, and your precinct does not have a PCO, you need to file so that you can get your name on the ballot so that this year you can actually become a PCO. It's a pretty easy process, and there is a high likelihood that you won't be opposed if there is no PCO in your precinct. What do you got to lose? Just go figure out what you need to do, go file, and then get yourself in there and get involved. We all need to get involved in every way we can. And I don't believe becoming a PCO is that big of a tax on what you have to do in your normal everyday life. And so I really would encourage everybody to try to get involved in any way you possibly can. I barely got a minute. And I know I mentioned this last week. There is a growing awareness that the federal government is using a different constitution and they've set up constitutions and all of that. I just want to remind everybody that all of this is unconstitutional, and all of this can be dismantled with Republic Review. That is why Republic Review is so important, and it is the only way we can get this done. So I ask you to go to reclaimingtherepublic.org, read my bullets, look at the model that I have out there that I talked about earlier in the show, and I ask you to pipe in, and you tell me if I'm wrong. And with that, I'll get going. I hope you have a great week, and we will be back here next week with more from Aline, and God bless. Talk to you later.